May the words of my lips, the thoughts of our minds, set our hearts on fire with love for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You don't have to dwell on the bad news for very long before realizing that somewhere along the line, children in particular have been affected. Many of you will remember when Romania was opened out and those pictures that we received of orphanages opening up and very sad looking children looking desperate and deprived. Or the event of the Twin Towers, when quite a number of children became orphans as a result of that disaster. And there have been natural disasters, tsunamis and droughts and civil wars and the results of present conflicts. And all sorts of pictures, I'm sure, are coming to your minds of children being affected by these events. Children created through an act of love between two human beings. Look into the eyes of such children. The eyes tell us everything. Fear, loss, bewilderment, sadness, desperation, hopelessness, and you can probably think of a few other adjectives, are all there. In this country, we sometimes hear of children being orphaned through a tragic accident or through abandonment. And on the whole, good support and long-term care are available, but in many countries, this is not so. Wherever a child is orphaned, consider what they've lost. Security, the touch, the hug, the smile, the provision of daily needs. They've lost significance, they've lost their identity, their self-esteem. They've lost guidance, someone there to mentor, to guide them, to teach what's right and wrong, to make decisions. They've lost purpose, something to live for, perhaps a family, or a better future, or a better world. Did you notice in our gospel reading, Jesus said something which sounds extraordinary? I will not leave you as orphans. This is a grown man talking to a few other grown men, saying, I will not leave you as orphans. What's going on? And what prompted that remark as Jesus speaks to his disciples that was just before the crucifixion? The questions of Thomas and Philip, the body language of the others, and the looks on all their faces probably spoke to Jesus of a growing fear, a sense of loss, bewilderment, sadness, desperation, hopelessness, foreboding, because he said he was going to leave them, and a blank expression that betrayed their lack of understanding. Perhaps Jesus was reminded of some of the children who used to trail around his feet on his journeys, children who never seemed to have a home to go to, or to sort of street children trying to scratch a living from the crowd who followed Jesus around. These disciples displayed all the characteristics of orphans in the making. And Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. And within that reassuring sentence, there shines also not just a promise, but the wonderful love of the Father for his children. Jesus had tried to teach the disciples that God is their Father, their Dad, our Father, our Dad. He had taught them to see God like that. And Jesus was for them that Father person. I promise you, I will not leave you as orphans. And very rapidly it's followed by another promise. I will come to you. I will not leave you. I will come to you. And that makes it clear that he will leave them, but he will come back again. Their experience of the resurrection affirmed all that, and they found in the days after Easter that they were not orphans. Their joy sustained them through to the ascension experience, which we'll celebrate this week on Thursday. When we read, they returned to Jerusalem with joy and praise in their hearts to await the promised Comforter, the Spirit, who would confirm that the Father's love cannot contemplate orphans. And so the disciples begin to understand Jesus' teaching about being the way. And the clue to our discovery of the way for today is in the Gospel. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And Jesus says in that passage in the Gospel that we love Jesus. We are called to love Jesus. It's not that we need him, of course we do, or believe him, or think we should do what he tells us. We love him. We respond to him with heart and soul, willingly, because it is our delight and our joy. We love the Creator, the Sustainer, the Saviour. And in that loving, we turn away from ourselves into longing for the good of those around us, which is the kingdom coming. Our love for Jesus may take a long time to mature and possess us completely, but we have begun. If we've not begun, then nothing else can happen for us. And we're called to obey his commands. Jesus says there is an inevitable relationship between loving and obeying. Obeying is a way of expressing love. Sometimes people think that the call to obey is to allow the commandments of God to dominate our actions. It's about duty and high moral principles in order to become acceptable as Christians. But this sort of obedience only produces a sense of never being good enough, of guilt and failure. The obedience Jesus talks about here is freely given, flowing out of our love, a loving impulse. It is not done to be acceptable, but simply because to be obedient is the loving thing to do. And if we behave in those ways, we're given that wonderful promise of the gift of the Spirit. To begin on the journey of loving and obeying leads to this next step, the gift of the life-giving presence of God himself, the Spirit of Truth. We have not earned this gift by our loving and obeying. We have made ourselves ready to receive it. The Spirit is God's enabling gift to sustain the life of loving and obeying that might otherwise overwhelm us. The Spirit comes to affirm us in our loving and obeying, and to ensure us that and to assure us that we are on the way, the guarantee that we will reach our goal. The Spirit brings peace, joy, healing, but not as a sort of supernatural cure for all our ills, but so that those who have begun the journey of loving and obeying Jesus are enabled and empowered to bring that peace and joy and healing to a needy world. And all that is precisely what happened to the disciples in those days following their last words with Jesus, "I will not leave you as orphans." Because they had a new security in their fellowship with one another, transformed by the presence of the Spirit. They had a new significance in the responsibility they now had to proclaim the good news to the world. They had the guidance of the Spirit in pointing themselves and others to the truth of God's amazing grace. And finally, they had purpose, something to live for, namely to know Christ and to make him known. What a wonderful promise. "I will not leave you as orphans. I will send you my Spirit." And if you are a Christian, the Spirit of God is living in you, giving you security, significance, guidance, and purpose. Amen.